The first scripture reading is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In it, Moses reminds Israel and us that it is God who sustains our life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. We begin reading at Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up. You forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the word of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul delivers a message of joy from a prison cell. His joy in such circumstances comes from a firm understanding of God's purpose for his life and his belief that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Reading from the fourth chapter of Philippians at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is from the 17th chapter of Luke, where we learn that the blessings of God are more than wealth or health. Reading from Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." But as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, and in particular, these words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is our text. Well, it's the eve of Thanksgiving. And tomorrow, for a lot of people, is going to seem like a rotten day. I have no doubts that tomorrow there will be a lot of people saying, "Thanksgiving, huh? What do we have to be thankful for?" Now, hopefully that's not going to be any of you, but you know, this year, can't you see some people thinking like that? They can't get together with their families on one of the traditional days when families get together. A lot of them might have COVID right as we speak. No one's been in my extended family already. My nephew was supposed to be installed the weekend before last as a new pastor in St. Charles here in Iowa, and he came down with the COVID. And then mom and dad had driven from Michigan to be with him, and they got it too. We have some members who have it right now. What kind of Thanksgiving is this? I mean, what do we have to be thankful for? Now, again, I'm not saying that, and don't you dare. But can't you see some people being like that right now? Of course, you and I know, and God willing, all Christians know, that even in the midst of earthly troubles and trials, there's reason to give thanks. For in the worst that life throws at us, we have hope. We have the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if this COVID thing gets us, we know that we still have life through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Yes, we always have reason to give thanks. But in our text for this evening, when the Apostle Paul calls upon us to give thanks, I'm not sure that that was exactly the kind of thanks that he was talking about. Let me read his words again to you. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, often when we're praying to God, you know, we have a list of items that we bring before Him. Lord, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. Could you please take care of them for me? And oh, by the way, Lord, this is something I can be thankful for. This is something I can be thankful for. This is something I can be thankful for. So you got the problems on one side, and you got the thanksgivings on the other side, but the two have nothing to do with each other. I don't think that's what Paul was talking about in our text for today. What I think he was talking about was something that our Lord Jesus himself explained in his Sermon on the Mount. And that is, in things for which the world would naturally not be thankful, there's reason to give thanks. That was our gospel reading just a little while ago on All Saints Day. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You know, normally when you're mourning, you don't think, oh, that's a reason to give thanks. Normally, when you're being persecuted, you don't go, oh, that's a reason to give thanks. But Jesus was saying, no, when those things are going on in your life, you're being blessed. Really? And if you are being blessed, you ought to be thankful for being blessed. You see, what I think the Apostle Paul was talking about in our text for today is exactly what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. That in everything we can find a reason to give thanks to God. The world does not get that. But that is something that God wants us to understand about how he works. Not only in the triumphs of life as viewed by the world, but in the things that the world would see as utter defeat. We're reminded of that in a way every time we look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the worst human torture devices ever devised. And there, the Son of God, holy and righteous, is brutally murdered with excruciating pain and suffering, though he had never done anything wrong. Is that a reason to give thanks? Well, you and I know. And we represent it by putting crosses at the front of our sanctuaries. Sometimes wearing on our fingers or as necklaces around our necks. In the cross of Christ, the greatest reason for the world to give thanks was accomplished as he took upon himself our sins and paid for them with his own blood. You see, in things that the world would never identify as a reason to give thanks, God brings blessing. We see this again. If you read the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, Jesus is leaving a temple, the temple. And they come across a man who was born blind. Well, that can't be anything good, right? His disciples look on him, and that's kind of the conclusion they come to. He must be being severely punished by God. They ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, you guys don't get it. I'm somewhat paraphrasing. Either this man or his parents sinned, but this happened that the glory of God may be displayed in his life. And he heals him. And the man becomes a great testifier, the Lord Jesus as a Savior, which is good. The Apostle Paul, even in his own letter to the Philippians, demonstrates that understanding, the peace that surpasses, as he says in our text for today or in our epistle lesson, that surpasses all understanding. He's in prison, chained up for preaching the gospel. You might think to yourself, well, what good can come of that? Well, Paul thought of some. He pointed out to the Philippians that because of his imprisonment, other people were being emboldened to speak God's word more clearly. And because he was in prison, he had contact with Caesar's imperial guard, and he could bear witness to them. Wow, what an opportunity. So even in what you would think was something bad that happened to Paul, he was finding good. Now, he didn't know whether his imprisonment was going to end up in death or in being released. But you know what? It didn't matter. As he says in Philippians, if he's to depart and be with Christ, actually, that's even better. But if he continued to live, he'd have an opportunity to go on preaching the gospel. He loved to do that too. Again and again in Philippians, you see Paul doing this with things that seem at first bad. But in the bad, he finds a reason to give thanks. So you might be saying to yourself, well, what's so good about this COVID thing? Well, I gave some thought to that as I was getting ready for this evening. I actually came up with a couple of different things. For instance, my wife is getting to spend more time with her grandchildren, and she loves that. That's a good thing. My son Daniel and Kirsten used to spend a lot of time driving back and forth between work and spending a lot of money on gas. They don't have to do that anymore. They're allowed to work at home. It's a good thing. We have that camera thingy in the back of our church. When this all got started, we didn't have that. We weren't live broadcasting. But now people literally all over the world can tune in. And believe it or not, we have people not living in Iowa that are probably watching us right now. And I know that we have people that are not our members that are hearing the gospel. All because of this nasty COVID thing. there's reason to give thanks. The world, however, doesn't understand how to do what we're doing. In part because it doesn't have the same definition of good that we have. We see our greatest good not in what can be achieved in this life, but in the life to come. And we know that God sometimes has his best opportunities to bring the good news to people, not through our own strengths and our own powers and our own might and our own glory. As Paul remarks also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God has chosen the weak to shame the strong. He chose the weak things, the despised things, to bring to naught the things that are. God uses a cross. One of the ugliest things humanity has ever created. One of the most painful devices of torture ever devised. It takes the death of an innocent man and makes it the cause for the greatest thanksgiving the world will ever know. So don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Yes, look for reasons to give thanks, even in the stuff that you find miserable. And let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And again, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.